right? What's one of the main topics you're not allowed to talk about at a nice family dinner? Politics. You got it. You're close. Politics. Guess what we're going to talk about today? Heck yeah. This isn't a nice family dinner, so we can talk about it. That's okay. There's no food here. Politics. Politics can be a really hot topic, right? I was debating how to open this. I thought there's like different funny ways to open this, but maybe offensive ways. So it can be a hot topic, right? Politics is something we maybe try to avoid, but it's also a big part of our world and our life. Aristotle, he said that humans are political animals. It's kind of a part of who we are, actually. We've been looking a lot at the book of Daniel, and Daniel actually has a lot to do with this topic as well. You remember the stories where literally all the main characters of that book, they're actually working for the government, so there's that. But they're also trying to figure out how to relate to the government and what that looks like for them as exiles. And often that kind of ends up with the government not liking them and all those stories that we've worked through. Politics, it's a big part of just living in the public square, and it's also a big part of our culture. For this series, we've been talking about living as exiles, living in exile, and really the idea is that we're a part of two different kingdoms, right? We're a part of God's kingdom, but we also are a part of the kingdom of the world, and that can kind of be complicated, and that's a huge theme throughout the Bible, and we've been trying to glean some wisdom from it through this series. And as I was kind of planning this series, I kind of realized you kind of have to talk about politics, don't you? Right? Because we our ultimate allegiance is to God, but we're also called to obey and submit to earthly authorities, and we have to navigate what that looks like wisely as followers of Jesus. So this is an important topic, I think, for us to engage with. You know, some of us, we're gonna kind of talk about our relationship to politics and then get into a little more about what that means for us. Some of us might love politics. You know, some of you study like political sciences, and this is of interest to you. I'm sure that most of us don't love politics. It feels like something we have to do. And yet politics, government, they're integral to our everyday life. And we also know that government has the power to do a lot of good, but also the potential to do a lot of bad. So we have to know that going in, right? Government, it's not like it's inherently bad. What is bad is that humans are prone to being corrupt. Right? We're prone to getting drunk on power, and politicians can quickly want more of that, and that can lead to trouble. People, all of us are prone to this. We can be easily corrupted. We can want more power. We can want more money, and those things can suspiciously come to people. We all fall for this. Government in itself is not a bad thing, but it can be quickly corrupted by sin. That's why most successful governments around the world have so many checks of power, right? There's so many limitations on governments that seem to work well because we know the state of the human heart. As Christians, maybe it's easy for us to just say, you know, Jesus is our king. We don't need to pay any attention to the government at all. Do we even need government at all? We can kind of just take that like libertarian stance and just say, we don't really need it. But actually, when there's no government, there tends to be some anarchy, and things don't necessarily go well in society. It can provide safety and welfare and order. Government, it has the potential to be very bad, but also very good. It has the potential to help a lot of people and to engage society in fruitful ways. So for us, as followers of Jesus, we kind of need to learn how to engage politics in a productive and in an actually fruitful way. I think it's unfortunate how political our culture has become. Everything's pretty political, right? Everything's kind of placed on this spectrum of being left or right. Right, liberal, conservative. Things are kind of placed on that spectrum, and we can really place anything on that spectrum, and we can make a lot of assumptions about people or things. We can even place churches on that spectrum, can't we? I think that's unfortunate. Politics can quickly become the lens through which we see the world, and this left and right spectrum can be the lens through which we see everything, and I think there's danger in that. We quickly get caught up in this political game where our news feeds, maybe our social media feeds, they quickly figure out which way you lean, and it takes you into a type of echo chamber where you just keep hearing more of that. And I think that social media probably doesn't help also, because the goal is not necessarily to provide the best information, but it's to get more clicks, right? And that's kind of what news has become in a lot of ways. We already know, like, what's going to get more clicks? A really well thought out kind of examination of a bill that really weighs the pros and the cons, or just a headline that says something about how this bill is going to destroy our nation. Right? We know that the more dramatic headline is going to get more clicks, and that probably does not help with this echo chamber, and we become more divided by politics. And I would say in our culture, in our world, we can quickly become more religious in our devotion to a specific party or even just a specific political idea. We become devoted to parties and divided from the people around us. You know, maybe when voting season, I'm glad I'm not giving this sermon during voting season, but maybe during voting season, you know, you see, oh, I can't believe our neighbor put that lawn sign up. Oh, I hope that neighbor moves. You know, how quickly can we start to see even our neighbors who we are called to love through a political lens? We always seem to focus on this is how this is a big issue in America, which I think it is a bigger issue there, but I think it's also an issue here. This is something that we, maybe we're more polite and quiet about it, but I think we deal with this too. We can quickly assume a lot about people or things politically. Walter Brueggemann, he argues that much like Jeremiah had to mourn the beginning of exile and kind of the fall of his home nation, we also see that our cultures and our societies will not last forever. We're actually aware of that, that the societies and the cultures that we're a part of, they will not last forever. And he argues that this whole left and right debate, that this fighting that goes on is a distraction, so we don't notice that things around us don't last forever. He says this, one can argue that the polarities in our society are a game on which we have agreed in order to keep us busy so that we do not notice. That's a bit about our place, where we're at. But what is the role of Christians in all of this? This is a big topic. I'm not going to touch on everything in this sermon. And I encourage us to continue to be critical and continue to think about this. But today we're going to kind of get into this a little bit. What is the role of the Christian in all of this? As we've explored throughout this whole series, really, of living in exile, you probably know it's not like there's a simple three-point answer of how to live well politically. I think we need to learn and glean wisdom from the scriptures on this, how to live wisely, how not to go to either extreme of this topic, but how to live wisely and to see things through the lens God gives us rather than a political lens. Right, where we're not fully consumed by politics, and that isn't everything about us, but we're also not completely isolated from what's happening in the world. Politics, it quickly becomes this lens through which we see the world. Maybe you only have friends who would agree with you politically. Or maybe you only consume news that shows your perspective. I think a dangerous thing is that politics can quickly become who we are, Our identity can get tangled up in all of this, where we don't even really bother to think things through. We just align because, you know, that's my party or that's my leader or that's my ideology. And we just start to align and we commit our allegiance to a specific party or an idea. And there's a danger to this, in part, I think, simply because we overestimate how important politics actually are. Daniel Smith Christopher, he says this: "The empire, despite all its attempts to convince itself otherwise, is not of ultimate significance. It is not worth losing sleep over." And he says, "It is the emperor's sleep that is disturbed." In John 18, Jesus says this: "My kingdom is not of this world." He says an interesting line here. He says, "If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders." That's an interesting line. I wonder if today he could have said, "If it were, maybe you should get caught up in the political spectrum." But his kingdom is not of this world. "But now my kingdom is from another place." In our culture, we as exiles, as followers of the only true eternal kingdom, we need to learn to untangle our identity from our world's politics. We need to know that God is in charge and that we are not supposed to align ourselves with anyone but Him. Preston Sprinkle, he says, "If we embrace our exilic identity, then no matter which Babylonian leader gets elected, Christ is still king. And his kingdom will continue to fill his creation by the power of love and sacrifice." Our approach to politics, as we're going to continue to explore, it needs to be more people-focused rather than just engaging on social media or news or online. We need to learn to focus on people, not just parties, not just what's going on in the news. A couple of years ago, we were on a trip in New Zealand. And I don't exactly remember what was going on in the news, but whatever it was, I remember that the locals, they kept talking to us about the politics of Canada or the U.S. Whatever was going on in that news cycle, that they were really worried about it. And they would always talk to us about those things. One Sunday morning, we found a church, found the local church, and we entered in. And, you know, there's like a lineup of greeters. It was nice. They seemed so friendly. They looked happy. They were warm. Their voices were warm. They were welcoming everyone in, shaking hands. It seemed like such a friendly church. We walk up to the first greeter. You know, I say, "Good morning." Apparently, I don't have a New Zealand accent. So right away, I guess he knew we weren't from there, weren't from Australia. I guess the two options are Canada or America, right? Right away, when he heard me say good morning, his whole demeanor changed. He went from this like happy, warm, welcoming. His voice was warm. His body language was warm. He's happy to see us. It was unbelievable. As soon as he heard me say good morning, his whole demeanor changed. He got cold and guarded, and he looked angry. He looked at me. He looked upset. He looked guarded. He didn't look happy. You already know what he's going to ask. He asked, "Are you American?" Right away, I was like, "Oh, no, we're Canadians." Again, this is a true story. It's unbelievable. His whole demeanor changes again. All of a sudden, he's this warm greeter again. He's happy. He's smiling. His voice changes again. He's so excited to see us again. Again, this actually happened. Then he says, "Oh, well then welcome in." It was unbelievable. Friends, can't our politics get in the way of loving our neighbors? I also think that's a hilarious story, partly because I'm comfortable in churches, but also how sad is it that our politics can get in the way of loving those around us, how Jesus calls us to. To give us another Preston Sprinkle quote, he says this, "As a Christian whose citizenship is in God's global kingdom, I can't give my loyalty to any earthly kingdom or to a certain party trying to rule that kingdom. Loyalty to one party nearly always requires you to be against the other party. Such an us versus them perspective will most likely suck you into a tribalistic battle God never called you to fight." Our political bias, it can distract us from loving our neighbor. What's more important? What's more important? We need to know what our actual focus should be. Hebrews 13, it says, "For here we do not have an enduring city." You know, the news cycles that are going on, whatever's going on politically, it is not enduring. But we are looking for the city that is to come. That is our focus. Politics, we're going to get into it. It is important, but we need to remember this, that we belong to the one eternal kingdom. I think we can say that worldly powers, they can be quickly corrupted, whether it's governments or nations, or maybe it's huge corporations. They can easily give in to the way of Babylon that we've been talking of. Corruption and pride and greed and not caring about actual people. Our kingdoms are built on these things, are not eternal. They do not last. This is another theme throughout Scripture, that Babylon, it will not last. Revelation 18, it says, "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen." These powers that seem so important, they don't last forever. Maybe you remember in Daniel 7, those beasts that represent the kingdoms, they fall. The Son of Man defeats them and they lose their power. Isaiah has a bunch of chapters that talk about and actually celebrate that Babylon in its pride will fall. It will not last forever. And we know that. And we can look at kind of the worldly systems and know that it will fall. But part of our role is to love the people that are in those systems, to care for our neighbor and to focus on them. This is important for us as followers of Jesus to understand. Because maybe we see some groups of people, or some groups of, you know, people that believe different things than you or vote differently than you or whatever it is, maybe we start to see them. I feel like enemies is a strong word, but maybe we just see them as people we disagree with. People that we don't think are very smart. People who we can't even believe they would believe those things. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you know, it doesn't really mean anything that you love people who love you. Like your friends, your family, obviously you're going to love those people, right? They love you back. That's easy. But what really counts is how are you loving your enemies, or how are you loving the people that you disagree with, that you don't understand, that you just don't think are smart, that you discredit because of their views or beliefs. How are you loving the people that you don't agree with? We're going to continue to look at how to engage in politics, but I hope this is an important base for us as we approach this topic. That we, as followers of Jesus, do not need to get caught up in constant political drama. It will always be there, but we are disciples of Jesus. We're not followers of any party or any political idea. This is an interesting quote from a scholar who wrote a book about the theology of exile, and he said this, "There were apparently frequent accusations made by Roman writers against the early Christians to the effect that they were atheists because of their refusal to honor the state gods. I contend that this political atheism was fueled by an even more profound radical faith in an alternative social existence that was now in the world, so Christianity. But the reality is that modern Christians rarely exemplify such political atheism in relation to the gods of the state." We need to be somewhat indifferent to the politics of our day that are constantly going around us. They shouldn't consume us. We need to be somewhat indifferent, and yet, now we're going to kind of find a middle ground here, and yet we are called to be present in our world. We are called to engage the world, even, I think, in politics. So we got to find our middle ground. Remember, politics, it can do a whole lot of good, and I think if we keep our head on straight, we use that lens that Jesus gave us rather than our political lens, politics, it can be a profound opportunity to actually love our neighbor rather than judge them. Right? We are called to engage in the public square, not just to hide away in our churches, but to go outside of our walls and to engage in our world, and that will mean even politically sometimes, not to gain power, but to help our communities, to help our country even prosper. We looked at this verse, it was a couple months ago, I think, but I'll read it again for us. It's kind of a letter to the exiles in Jeremiah, and it says this: "Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city, right, of the country that we are journeying through, right? We're followers and citizens of God's eternal kingdom, but we're also citizens of where we're placed. Seek its peace and prosperity. Even simply saying Jesus is king was a profoundly political statement for the early church, but I think it still is today. And sometimes saying Jesus is king is a statement of defiance. You know, I'm loyal to him alone no matter what happens, and I don't have to get caught up in political drama all the time. But it's also a statement saying, Jesus, my king, knowing he calls us to bring his goodness and his light into the public sphere. He calls us to bring his goodness and his light and his love and his ways into the world that we live in. And we can be faithful witnesses. We can do good for our community by engaging well. I like how N.T. Wright and Michael Byrd put it. I think this is kind of what I'm trying to say. Politics is like fire. Get too close and you will burn. Stay away and you will freeze. We got to find a middle ground here. And I want to ask, what is politics for us? Because sometimes if somebody claims, like, I'm very politically active, my fear is that means you're on the internet a lot. Maybe you're tweeting angry things or whatever that is for you. And I don't think that's what politics is meant to be. It's also not trying to gain influence or power. But I wonder if politics can be a practical way to serve and love those around us. Maybe some of you have been called to government in different levels, vocationally even. Thank you for that. That is such important work, I think. And what an opportunity to bring the ethics and the actions and the hope of Jesus to our world, to seek peace and prosperity for the city that we are in. Romans 13 is probably the famous passage about submitting to authorities, but I want to read kind of a similar passage in 1 Peter 2. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." We are called to be really good citizens, even when that might be hard, to honor and submit and care for our governments and our leaders. Again, as we explored in Daniel, that doesn't mean, you know, if they call us to give up our faith. We never do that. We are loyal to Jesus first, but we're meant to be respectful and good citizens. Submit Pay your taxes. That's a big biblical one. Pray for the government. Are we praying for our government more than we're complaining about it? Be respectful and trust what God is up to, even if you don't like who is in power. To be active in government, I think we need to recognize the needs of people and the communities around us and help out how we can. Maybe to find specific issues. Again, N.T. Wright and Michael Burr, they say, if we perform that role properly, kind of walking this balance and seeing things through the Jesus lens, we will walk in the way of the cross and build right under Caesar's nose things that challenge the edifices of totalitarian regimes, that show forth the beauty of God's new creation, that demonstrate that there is a different way to be human, liberated from the lusts and pleasures and power, attaining a genuine human life by conforming to the image of the Son of Man. We can participate in politics, and we're going to do that to varying levels, depending on your gifting and where you're at, but we can simply even do it by loving our neighbor well, being aware of local needs, right, actually maybe advocating for those local needs. Maybe it's a specific people group or some group of people that are marginalized, and advocating in respectful and wise ways through voting even. And I think elections, which are typically a time of division and chaos and whatever else you want to describe them as, are such a great opportunity for the church to gather and pray for our leaders, to pray for our government, to pray for the peace of the city we are in. Let me put it like this. I think it's okay and actually a good idea to be aware of what's happening in the world, but my theory is that Christian engagement in politics is a lot more fruitful if we recognize specific issues, I think especially locally. If we're aware of our neighbors who are maybe struggling to pay rent or marginalized in some way, or people who don't have a voice, being aware of that and advocating for that and working towards this betterment, maybe partnering with organizations or sometimes with local government, I think that politics for a Christian should look a bit more like that than a bit more about being angry at the news. Maybe a bit more than being angry that Trump is redoing the memorial pool. You know what I mean? You getting what I'm saying? Like being local and aware of local needs rather than just being aware and upset about what's happening far away. Does our engagement have to do with anger, fear, or emotional reaction, or are we actually engaging people? I think that's an important distinction for us to be fruitful. We can start to ask, what issues does God care about that we're noticing in our world, in our city? What does he care about? Who is marginalized? Who doesn't have a voice? What does it mean to connect with people and ask what they need, and then partnering with the right organizations or sometimes even local government to bring solutions? Right? We don't advocate for more influence or power, but we do sometimes advocate for people who don't have a voice. And we do that well and wisely and peacefully. The church has an eternal perspective. We don't have to have knee-jerk reactions to what's happening in the news. In fact, I don't think we usually should. There's constantly different political ideas and movements, and maybe you've seen it online, I've seen it online, where it's like, if your church didn't mention this issue on Sunday, find a different church. I don't know if you've seen that. I've seen that. The Church of Jesus Christ does not revolve around political news. We are engaged in the world with people, but we are not run by news cycles. Your political party, your political ideology is not going to save you. Even though they do good things, they're not all good. As followers of Jesus, there's always standards that we are called to that are maybe different than our politics or even greater than our politics. Politics in our culture can quickly become like a religion, right? That's kind of how we started this off. I encourage us, be aware of that. Don't slip into that. Our government, our culture, our society, it's temporary, right? It's important that we invest in it, but it will pass. We should let God define who we are, define the way we live. I think what I'm really trying to say is let's allow Jesus to form us, to form who we are, to form our identity so that we don't feel the need to be constantly consumed by what's happening in political news, but also allow him to form us so that we are faithfully engaged in the world, even politically, that we do that well and that we are focused on those around us. We approach politics through prayer, through seeking out real people, by advocating sometimes for the vulnerable, for the people who don't have a voice, by being good and respectful citizens. And as we engage, we have our eternal perspective. We remember, yes, this is important, but it's also temporary. We serve the one true King. So today, and I'll invite our worship team to come forward. Today, let's ask God for his wisdom. Right, as our political world can get pretty intense and hot sometimes, let's ask for his wisdom, that we would keep that eternal perspective, that we would be wise, and that we would be faithfully present to love our world, even through politics. So let's pray and invite Jesus for his wisdom. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are Lord over all things. And that even topics that are maybe big or scary or controversial, that we just invite you, Jesus, that your voice would be heard, that we would know how we can be faithful, how we can be wise, how we can trust in you. We invite your wisdom, Jesus, as this is complicated. There's no simple three-step solution. We pray for your wisdom, and we pray for a heart, that we would have your heart for our world. Lord Jesus, in your precious name, amen.